Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've joined us. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Tell them to go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv, and listen to all the podcasts at their own convenience. And we have such amazing guests. God is so faithful. And we are just so grateful again for another one of those great people, Finn Larson. Hi, Mr. Finn Larson. How are you?
I am great and just looking forward to another celebration of Christmas. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, yes, sir. Best time. And it makes the world go round, doesn't it, Mr. Finn?
Absolutely.
It is so funny. I just heard AFR today talking about how, you know, that's one of the things that they especially like to, you know, promote is for people to say Merry Christmas. After all, without Christmas, you know, I think the economies of the world would stand still.
That's true.
Oh, it is a wonderful time of the year. And as a Christian, you know, it's just really awesome because we do, you know, I feel like we celebrate Christ all year long because of out of grateful hearts and what he has done for us and keeps doing for us. And but in this special time of the year, I think we have that excuse to give others that gift too, to share a little bit of Christ, you know, and give them a little gift that, you know, maybe we can't do other times of the year, you know, just to make them know, hey, this is because of Christ.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really a perfect time in our public schools to talk about Christmas and what it really means. It's impossible in our culture to regardless of our faith, to not know that Christmas is approaching. You can't walk into the local department store without being bombarded with Christian symbols. And it breaks my heart sometimes to see the great misunderstanding that's out there. I just got an email from Georgia, where a Georgia school decided to ban Christmas cards. They took them all down because they used the word Christmas, and they had manger scenes, and somehow in their confusion they thought there was something illegal about that. There's just so much confusion out there, And I think as parents and students and teachers, we ought to boldly proclaim Christmas for what it is. And the good news is that it's not against the law, and we just ought to do it.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Finn, you'll have to, yes, share some more of your thoughts on that. But would you mind starting us off, sir, in prayer?
Certainly. Father, we just give you thanks that that we do live in a nation that was founded by on fire followers of your Son, and Father, that the remnants of that are still in this nation, the freedom through the First Amendment, the freedoms that we have to express our faith, Father, that we could even go on this world wide web and proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and that we're thankful that we can now celebrate his birth as the body of Christ. How exciting that is, Father. We just give you thanks for that. Father, we would ask that personally and corporately as the body of Christ, that we might be a bold witness in these coming days of December as we interact with believers, non-believers, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, people of all faiths and of no faith, Father. We ask that you would give us a boldness and just a positive boost of love to share with others, Father, not in a condemning way, but in a way that will be life-giving and would draw people to you. And we just give you thanks for who you are. Ask your blessing on the program today and the listeners and any guests that would call in, Father. We just ask that your presence would be so evident that just as we connect electronically, Father, your very presence would be evident. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Mr. Finn Larson. We are so grateful, sir, for what you do. And Mr. Finn, would you mind starting off just introducing the audience to yourself and your organization and where they can get more information?
Certainly would do that. I'm Finn Larson, and for the last 10 years have served an organization called Christian Educators Association International. It's an organization that just this year celebrated its 60th anniversary, 60 years of serving Christians in both public and private schools. Most of our members are in public schools, and our goal is to encourage, equip, and empower them to openly live out their faith, in the case of the public school, in a culture that's really foreign to biblical principles. And when teachers join us, in fact, we're getting a growing number of support staff, bus drivers, secretaries, classroom aides. When they join us, they get $2 million professional liability policy and any kind of legal support that they would need should they have any kind of problems in the public school. We have a growing number of teachers who really feel that they can no longer belong to unions like the National Education Association, their state, and their local unions because of the various agendas they have that conflict with biblical truth. And so many join us as an alternative because they get the protection that they need, but at the same time they're supported from a biblical worldview, and they know that the dollars they pay in our membership dues do not get invested in an agenda that would conflict with their religion at all.
Wow. Thank you for that, Mr. Finn. And I am going to let one of your number one fans speak to you. Miss Barbara Moore, our co-host, is on. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Hi, Finn.
Hello. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and we're just delighted that you're on the show today. I've been running everywhere this morning but trying to get home so I could just listen in. I've got my paper, I've got my pen, and I'm ready to roll. I just want to listen to you and learn from you. I appreciate you very much. I am a fan. I'll never forget you coming down to Southeast Alabama for our conference against Common Core and how important that was. And anyway, I just appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you. It's certainly a blessing to be part of the body and to have an opportunity to meet the many wonderful people that are out there. And I remember coming down and getting to meet you as well as your friends and those that you interact with, and it was just such a blessing.
Well, you know, Finn, my favorite part of your visit with us, and you spoke beautifully at the conference, and it was just, everything was just so good. But my very favorite part was standing outside Shoney's restaurant in a circle with all of us gathered around, and you led us in prayer. And it was memorable. It was absolutely memorable.
I do remember that myself. That was it was great to be together.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, that's what Mr. Finn Larson does for a lot of teachers. I know I can't help but think, Mr. Finn Larson, that with all this going on with Common Core, that your numbers of people that are calling you, wanting to get in touch with you, wanting to join, it probably has quadrupled. So it's like, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, I think God is using for good, because really there is no help other than
That's
God
right.
and his people. So what are you seeing with the statistics of the membership?
Well, we are continually growing, and in fact, if any of your listeners today would like to be part of our network, they could actually go to our website right now at ceai.org, or they could just Google Christian Educators and they'll come up. They can join right on the website. They can get a membership just to be part of the network. If they don't need the insurance and the legal protection, they can join as an associate, or they can join as a full member and have the benefits. One of the things that we're just seeing, is, and I think Common Core has woken people up, or maybe we should call it Obamacore, but all of a sudden people are starting to take a phenomenal interest in what's going on in our schools, which I think is very, very important. And there's a growing murmuring, if you will, that we're seeing against the unions also. Probably the biggest bullies, you know, we get a lot of talk about bullying in our public schools, and I think probably the biggest bully of all are the unions. In fact, we just recently filed a lawsuit against the National Education Association, the California Teachers Association, and 10 local associations in the state of California, believing we just need to work this out in the courts. We believe it's unconstitutional to tell a teacher, now think about this, 4 to 5 years of preparation, many years of experience, and if you go to a state like California and about half of the states, unless you're willing to be forced to be in that union, you are not allowed to work in that district. And we believe that's unconstitutional, forced to give, and here's what has been negotiated in many of those districts. If you don't want to join, they'll say fine, but you have to pay fees anyway. So you have to give them money, and they get millions and millions of dollars to support agendas that would just send shivers down our spine. And if we help many teachers get out as religious objectors. And if you get out as a religious objector, you don't give them any money, but you have to give that money to a charity that they support. And so we just feel that in a land of freedom, that doesn't seem like something that our forefathers would have ever allowed under the Constitution. So we're going to be fighting that in the courts and try to we sort of feel like David fighting Goliath there. But we read the book and we found out David won, and we believe with the Lord we can certainly also win. We're really trying to do is, in the 1970s there was a case, the Abood case, which made it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court at that point voted that it was legal to force teachers and public employees to join. So we're hoping to see that overturned in this battle. And in fact, we just filed an amicus brief at the Supreme Court, at our U.S. Supreme Court, supporting health workers who are also trying not to be forced to give money to unions. And so I think it's becoming a hot issue as we're looking at Obamacare, Obamacore, we're seeing the government getting more and more power and the people seeming to get less, that I think people are getting pretty conscious about their freedom. And so we're going to fight for the freedom of educators and other public employees. And if that means we're going to spend some time and energy in the courts, then we're going to do that in the courts. And you're doing exactly the same thing on the air, if you will, fighting for freedom, making sure people understand the foundation of this nation and what their freedoms really are, and not take them for granted. I think we may have to be in a battle with those that would take our freedom away. It's an exciting time to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Mr. Finn. And you mentioned David, and Ms. Barbara and I, you know, we've been talking about David Barton. We've mentioned that to you.
Oh, yes.
We have, you know, David Barton, who comes on and starts off our show, you know, with his, you know, telling us to remember your history. And for such a time as this, and I see the story of Esther being played out, because I think it's very dangerous times again. And there is a people, and I think they're the ones that wear the name of Christ that is in danger here. And so it's time to make a stand. But David Barton is coming our way January 18th, and Mr. Finn, we're so excited about that. Thank you for sending us that package. We want to get that information out, information on CEAI there at the conference. But thinking about that, I'd like to ask you, Mr. Finn, we spoke to a teacher last night, veteran teacher, and you know her, Sharon Sewell. You know, she's about to come on.
Great,
I don't
great
know
woman.
If she's going to make it to come on today, but she got excited hearing you. But I think one of the things that I've spoken to some teachers, some of the kindest people in the world that wouldn't hurt a fly. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I have noticed with this Common Core is that a lot of these teachers that expect the children to do homework daily, they're having a hard time doing their own homework. They are almost like they're in a cocoon. I guess they are so surrounded by education talk that it's almost like they cannot get out of their world and listen to somebody else. Are you seeing that, Mr. Finn, and how do you think we can break through that?
Well, yeah, I don't even know what to call it, but I would say that we're finding teachers across the nation feeling overwhelmed. We do conferences around the country, and it's quite frankly, it's almost hard to get them to come because they feel so overwhelmed. It's the next test cycle they've got to go through, or whatever that their district is gearing up for. I've never seen it like this before. Teachers are drained. They're discouraged. I mean, it breaks my heart when I see a teacher talk to a student that are getting up in the upper high school years thinking about becoming a teacher, and I hear them tell these great candidates for future educators, oh, don't do it. It's just too hard now. It's just too hard. So I would say I believe part of the battle is spiritual, and part of it is that teaching is an art. It's not one size fits all. It's quite a craft. And what's happened I would say certainly with Common Core, but it even started before that. No Child Left Behind. We can actually go back multiple years and see the drain. Come on, teachers, when it started being about test scores, and rather than getting students to learn and process and understand the whole concept of problem solving and inquiry, that it was such a focus on specific test scores that the classroom is not only not a place that's fun for students at times, but certainly not for teachers. If we can go back in history a little bit, I maybe it goes a little beyond your question, but if you look at historically what public education was, way back in 1789, our forefathers just got done writing the Constitution, and they passed a federal law that said that religion needed to have three components. Public education needed to have three components: religion, morality, and knowledge, and they said they that always had to constitute public education, and that without religion, morality would crumble, and if you removed religion and morality, you'd only have knowledge, and knowledge alone can be dangerous. And then lo and behold, we all know what happened in the 60s. The Supreme Court said, you know, public schools need to be secular. And so we had all those concepts of misunderstandings of what separation of church meant, but clearly religion was pushed out. Morality crumbled. Rather than just having children that choose wrong, we got a whole generation of young children that are amoral. They don't know the difference between right and wrong because religion was pushed out. Then morality crumbled, and all we have left is knowledge, which is really why we as an organization, we want the very finest believers to become educators, to bring just through their lifestyle and their testimony, religious and morality back into the classroom. I think it's that lack of spiritual support, lack of understanding of morality that just drains our teachers. They feel all alone. They feel at times that body of Christ is not supporting them, and I think it's that deterioration of the public schools that basically started about 1963. And has brought us to where we are today, where some people believe the answer is more government, and really the answer is less government. Turn the teachers loose to practice the art of teaching, not of monitoring tests and preparing for tests. And we just would encourage Christian educators that are out there and feeling this way to stay plugged in the Word. You can join us as a support group. We'd love to support you, and realize that your ministry there goes far beyond test scores. It's pouring into the lives of the children who, if they don't experience Jesus through you, may never experience it at all. And I can tell you what happened in my life. I was a public school educator for 32 years. Once I realized that I was a full-time missionary in the public schools, it became much easier for me. I wasn't there just to please the principal or just to make sure all the parents loved me or just to make sure everyone got good grades. I was there to walk out the biblical worldview in everything I did, and whenever an opportunity was there to share my faith legally with staff, with students, with parents, that's really what it's all about. And I can tell you from that mentality, I believe teaching in the public sector is much easier and less draining because I realized it wasn't all about me. It was about bringing the Holy Spirit, bringing the Lord into the classroom every day and relying on His strength. You know, if we pour out all of our strength, eventually we'll be drained, eventually we'll be depressed, eventually we'll be demoralized, eventually we'll be ready to give up. But, hey, we have a partner that created the universe, a partner that has all the power and authority that would ever be needed. And if we work off of that platform, I think we can turn this around. I know we can turn this around.
And Trent, I was thinking about the scripture. You know, he seeks true worshipers that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I've always, you know, really keyed in on the truth. You know,
that's good.
And but then you also have to have the spirit. And so when you put those three things together, based on religion, morality, and knowledge, when you put all those together, you've got the truth. You've got
exactly.
The spirit. You've got the complete. And so really what we're doing to teachers and students with this new approach that we're doing, you're really turning them into, I hate to say it, but it's like the soul is being taken out. They almost feel like they're just automatons. They might as well be a robot.
Yeah.
Because they have,
and I hear
no
those words exactly. They have sucked everything out of me. There's nothing left. Well, there is if you turn to the Lord. You know, one of the things we do to anyone who's interested, and any of your listeners who'd be interested in this, we have started a new program because we realized that teachers were so dry. We call it the 116 program, and if you go to our website, or you can go to the 116 website, it's one spelled out O-N-E 16pray.com. That's one O-N-E 116pray.com. And we named it that after Romans 1:16, that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles." It's the power of God. So what we do is every single morning, people who sign up for this, they get text a prayer focus for the day. And then we ask those people that sign up for that at 1:16 p.m., in whatever time zone they're in, they pray in unity the prayer for the day, the prayer focus for the day. And teachers from all over the country, now we're getting some from other countries that have heard about this that are even signing up. In fact, I talked yesterday to an educator from the Czech Republic who started describing how lonely teachers felt and how hard it was for them in the classroom. And so we're now going to partner with that organization, the Czech Republic, to support their teachers. It's very, very difficult when you have a culture that does not honor the Lord, and it can very often be a very, very dry place. And so to be in unity, imagine every Christian teacher in the nation and beyond praying at 1:16 a prayer of unity. And I'd encourage anyone who's interested in doing that, all they have to do is go to that website, one16pray.com, sign up, and every morning they will be text a prayer focus for the day. I get mine every day and join teachers around the country and beyond in praying for whatever the focus is for that day. We need to have unity. We need to know that the power is not in our education. The power is not in Washington, D.C. The power is not in Common Core. The power is not in No Child Left Behind. The power is not in your state government. It's the power is from on high, and that's what we need to do. I can tell you, as I drove to work in the public schools, and I was there 32 years, my drive time was my praise time. Time to praise the Lord and prepare for the battle that I knew would happen as soon as I entered that building. The Lord promised He'd not leave us or forsake us, and we as educators and supporters of educators need to understand that. It's not our battle alone. We won't overcome Common Core alone or any of the other issues that are out there, but together we can make a phenomenal difference, and with the power of the Lord, we will not be drained. We will not be overwhelmed. The power that's in us will overpower the power that's in the world, and we need to take that. We need to embrace that.
That is awesome. And Mr. Finn, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, I was just going to make a few comments to have a few questions. I may have something that might help the teachers all over. It's certainly helping in our area here in Dothan, Alabama. And when you said teachers are feeling overwhelmed, I know they are. And one of the things that we've been doing for a couple of years at one of our local schools is to have the grandparents come in one morning a week. We do it on Wednesday mornings, and we will have usually about a dozen grandparents there, and the teachers will have available the work they need us to help them with. It's an elementary school. It's K through fifth grade, so there's a lot of tracing. There's a lot of cutting. There's a lot of assembling and so forth, but they appreciate it so much, and we're just so glad to do it. We work for a couple of hours together on anything they want us to work on.
Oh, that's
wonderful. Then we all stay for lunch, have lunch with our grandkids, and get to see the teachers, you know, and I always take my teachers of my grandchildren cookies when I take cookies to my grandchildren, too, from the bakery. So, but it's just a little help to them, and it's an encouragement to them. So it's the lady who started it died shortly after of pancreatic cancer, but she left a good legacy. And we have one lady in charge of it, and the rest of us, she's good at organization, and she just tells us what to do, and we do it. And it is wonderful. And you get to be there at the school, you know, see the material that they're using, see, yeah, just, you know, it's good to be there and keep an eye on what's going on and help the teachers. So I thought that might be something you would be interested in. Also, the information, the Pray for the Day focus text, is that information on your brochures for joining the organization?
No, it isn't. It is on our website. It is on our website. It's not in the brochure. I'll tell you what. We do have some brochures, some cards directly for the 116 program. Would you like me to send you some of those?
Oh, yes, please, and I will distribute them to the teachers there at our public school where my grandson's.
I will send you a whole supply of those. We print them by the thousands, so we will not run up short. It's a business card which tells them what they can do and where they can get the information and where they can sign up. So I will mail you some of those. And for your listeners, they can, again, go to our website or they can go to the 116 PM website, which is 116pray.com.
Oh, wonderful. Now, the other thing I wanted to tell you about is something that we're doing here in Dothan also. And we were talking about it at the grandparents meeting today, but it is a weekly Kids for Christ club for our magnet school, our public magnet school there. Now, we are not permitted to meet on campus in the building, but there was a church, a small church across the street, and the pastor there and his wife welcomed us with open arms, and so we walked the children across 30 minutes. It's a power-packed 30 minutes every week. 7:15 to 7:45, we ask community leaders in to tell about their relationship with the Lord and how they're living that out, how they are applying biblical truths in their work, in their lives. We've had everyone from the mayor, fire chief, police chief, pediatricians, and we had an Auburn player who had a national championship ring and you know, just people from all different walks of life from the community sharing their testimony. And it's been the most wonderful. We had 83 students there yesterday.
Wow.
And my daughter and I got the idea from someone else that's actually meeting in a school in another place, but since we were not able to, we kind of made lemonade out of the lemons that we were given. But what this has done, Ben, it's opened our eyes to see that anywhere in this country, anywhere, that there is a church within walking distance,
That's so good.
Is a building that could be used, this concept, Kids for Christ Youth, could be done anywhere and everywhere.
You know, there's a ministry that's located in South Carolina, but they're national, called School Ministries, schoolministries.org, and they promote really what you're talking about, which is release time education, where you get off school property during the school day. You can actually do it during the school day. It doesn't even have to be before school if the school will work with you. But they have been phenomenally powerful in changing lives. Jim Daly, who's now the head of Focus on the Family, that's where he found Christ.
Wow.
When he was in elementary school, he walked across the street to an area church where they where they shared the truth with him, and that's where he found the Lord, and certainly thousands of others. The concept, you know, of getting off school property is really a good thing, even though you probably would rather stayed on school property. But once you're off school property, they're no holds barred. And again, you may talk to them about doing it during school.
Well, we've gone through the principal and the superintendent of education, and this is where, you know, I know it's a hardship for the kids and the parents, but I got to tell you, the parents are turning out like crazy. We will between 15 and 20 parents every meeting. They line up. They help us get the kids back across the street. We're providing a breakfast sandwich for them, so they take turns providing that. You know, we have one dad who we asked to be in charge of our closing prayer, and so he is, but he also asks other dads to share in that privilege. And so it's almost like the parents have just been waiting for something like this to happen.
That is so exciting, and I agree with you. It sounds like what you're doing could be duplicated not across the state or across the country and make a phenomenal difference. That is so exciting.
It is. It is. It could be. I see the vision, and you know, again, you know, what the enemy has meant for evil, the Lord can turn it and use it for good, for the salvation of many, Genesis 50. And I see that happening, and I am so, so very thrilled. You know, particularly, I think this is really key, that it's community leaders. You know, here the police chief, who was on the SWAT team, point man for the SWAT team, telling these boys and girls how even though they had the very best equipment, the best training, they needed God when they went in anywhere, when the SWAT team entered a building. He said, "We prayed. We prayed."
That's great.
He said, "If we couldn't pray before, we prayed going in, but we prayed." And he gave the most beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace. Now, you're a young person, and here's this police chief, tough, you know, powerful, and he's singing Amazing Grace and telling how his need for God, you know. And it's just, it's making an impact. It really is. I want them to see the reality of God in our lives, even though that reality is not being taught to them in their textbooks or in their classrooms anymore. They've got to hear it. They've got to hear it.
Well, you know, and the power in what you're doing is you've activated the community. You know, it's not just you or one other person. It looks like you've activated the whole community, and I believe that's what the body of Christ is called to do. And you know, public school, Christians are part of the public. It's our school too. So investing in that way, I think, is phenomenal impact of kids. Impact on kids that may never show up in our churches, as well as impact on Christian kids who find out their faith is for more than church.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's just such a blessing. I just I want to share it everywhere.
Well, that is exciting.
When something is working, you got to share it. It's sad because to me, we had something that was working in the very beginning. And we have
changed it.
We've reinvented the wheel. And Mr. Finn, you know, not just I was thinking about the teachers, and I love what you're saying about the 116pray.com, and I want to do that as a Christmas gift. I am going to do that to pray for the schools, and I want to encourage everybody to join this Christmas and make it a habit. Right, Mr. Finn? Make it a habit.
Oh, without a – what I'd also suggest is find out, just ask around, find out who the Christian teachers are in your school, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or just an interested a citizen. Find out who they are and send them encouraging emails. Ask them, what can I pray for you? Or letting them know, I know when I was in the midst of spiritual battles in my career in the public schools, to get an email from a parent or somebody in the community that said, just know, today I prayed for you. Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable. Not only the impact of the prayer, but knowing people were out there supporting me and supporting the missionary work that I was doing was just phenomenal. You know, sometimes we, as a body of Christ, tend to do that to our overseas missionaries, but we don't want to forget the missionaries that are in the public school. Pray for them. Let them know you support them. Send them a note of encouragement. I mean, this is the season when we tend to send out cards to our family and friends. Don't forget the other months. Just send a note, a little thank you for the work that you're doing. It can make a phenomenal difference.
You can send some extra cards if you don't mind, and we can give it out, too, at the conference. But I would love to start this Christmas, and just every time we do a show, I'm going to mention that 116 pray, because
I will send you a large supply of those.
Okay, well, that's what he's going to take that, and I was just thinking, as y'all were talking, you know, I love what Ms. Barbara's doing, and it's the right thing to do, and it brings out the best. And, you know, we're hoping to have a mental health therapist, Joan Landis from Utah, come. And that's one of the things that she talks about is, you know, when they're at this age, very young age, this is the really good time to bring out the best. You let them study stories that will tender their heart so that you rear a kinder generation instead of the knockout punch generation that we're hearing in the news. So that's really, I'm praying that parents, I know we here in Alabama we have the sweetest teachers and some of the sweetest parents. And I almost think that they think their school is so good, their teachers are so good, that that's not going to happen in their school and with their teachers. But, Mr. Finn, it's almost like, oh, if I just send myself to a tutoring class, I'm going to learn how to do this math, and I'm going to help my child make better grades. But what we're finding from the mental health therapist is you're actually doing a disservice to that child. In essence, you are helping quicken the dumbing down, because she says it really will change that brain. And so it's really a time for really almost like, you know, you want to shake the parents up, you know, if you can, and say, wake up. So what are you hearing from the parent side of it?
Well, I'm hearing certainly a lot of frustrations and actually hearing from a lot of parents that are pulling their kids out of school and homeschooling or going to Christian schools, and that's certainly a viable alternative, but it isn't for everyone. Still, we have 90% of our kids are in the public school, and that includes 90% of our Christian kids, and so my plea is, unless God calls you out, stay involved. One of the things that as parents start seeing things in their school in the curriculum or pressures that their teachers are put under is go to board meetings, run for the board, get on your citizens task force, be involved in the parent organizations. I mean, there are the public school is really open in many ways for community input. It just seems that many of us have gotten so busy, we feel we don't have time. And I would say, body of Christ, we can't afford to ignore the schools. There are pressures from other groups that again would send chills down your spine. They are investing time, energy, and dollars in changing the culture of our nation through the schools. We need to have a voice. We need to be there to speak out for Christian children. I sit on a committee in Washington D.C. where we make sure that students' religious and families' religious convictions are accommodated by the schools, because you're required to do that. And the last meeting I went to, again, it just brought tears to my eyes because I sat there an entire day and we went over all these accommodations, and there were Sikhs and Muslims and Buddhists and you name the religious stream, and they were getting all these accommodations for their children because they were being requested. And the entire day I did not hear about one Christian accommodation. And I would say, parents, the schools must accommodate your religious convictions. If there's something being taught that violates your biblical principles, then you need to let the school know, because they are required to give alternative assignments to your children. And again, I'm not saying to be a pain in the side of the teacher, the school, or the administrators, but just speak up. You can say in love, I have a real problem with this. Can we come up with something else? And the truth is they have to, and they know that, and they're doing it for other walks of faith. They need to be doing it for followers of Jesus, too. We just need to speak up.
Well, Mr. Finn, I hear the story, and Ms. Barbara, you know, we heard the story about the boiling frog. You know, it seems like that's what we're at. You know, it is almost to the top. It is a boiling stage, and we're so many parents and teachers are still asleep. And I remember a story my sister told me about that, you know, they're in a youth group, and you put a child up on top of the stool, and that child that's standing on top of the stool, you know, they try to lift a child up. It's very hard. But if you turn it around and let the child that's below pull the child that's on top of the stool, it's very easy. And what I'm trying to get through is, you know, as many good things as we try to do and have done in this country, you know, when you see what they're trying to pass in these schools now, I think I saw a homework where you make a new flag, and, you know, this child draws a socialist flag. You know? It's so easy, really, for the tearing down. You know, we do a lot of things in this nation, but in an instant, especially with this Common Core, we're hearing that when the children are taking these tests on the computers, teachers can't even watch and see what's being taught. So, you know, that school is really getting to be a more dangerous changing of the mind. Mm-hmm. You know, a laboratory for changing of the mind. It's never been like this before. It's like Obamacare. You know, we're talking about Obamacare. It is on steroids, how the minds of the children are going to be changed if we don't try to put the brakes on it.
Well, without a doubt, it's our responsibility. I mean, biblically, if we talk to parents for a moment, biblically we know parents are responsible for educating their children, to raising them up in the way they should go, and that means that the 6 to 8 hours they're in school too. Whether we send them to a Christian school or a public school, we can't turn over that education to somebody else. We need to. They can certainly help us, but we need to have oversight for on what's going on, what they're being exposed to. And you know, we can go beyond school and talk about those electronic devices. You know, how many hours are spent out on the internet, and we're using the internet here, if you will, or electronics, and it can be a good thing, but it can also be the source of destruction of children. And so we need to be sensitive. Don't turn our children over to the internet. Don't turn our children over to a public school or a Christian school. Stay involved. Stay involved. I think that's why the homeschool movement has been as popular and as successful as it has been, is because those that ascribe to that have found out that the impact they can have in investing all that time and that focus on their children has been very successful. And I'm not saying that there can't be success in the public school or in the Christian school. There clearly can, but I think there's danger if you assume that all is going well all those hours you're not with your child. You need to provide oversight. You need to ask questions. You need to get in there as often as possible. Be part of the process.
And I have a couple of questions for you. We're facing a real problem here in our area. That no one seems to be aware of, and It is that the Superintendent of Education has proposed supplying iPads to every student in the system from fourth grade up so that they would be going to e-books and be online all the time. And there's no outcry. I spoke with a board member yesterday, and he said, "You are the only one that we have heard from, the only one." And they're about to vote on it December 16th.
Yeah.
And the Superintendent of Education is really pushing it. I did have a letter published in the local newspaper speaking about that and opposing it, and then the board members. Now, I'm also working with, you know, individuals, writing things for them because they don't have time. Mm-hmm. What would be your main objections that would resonate with parents and with the school board to that proposal?
Well, I think the main thing that troubles me with it is the whole issue of, I mean, it's a gateway to a lot more than textbooks. It's a gateway to everything that's out there on the Internet. And I can tell you what opened that door. This is happening around the country because Common Core requires that all the tests that are being developed to measure how well Common Core is being taught has to be tested online. And so districts, states that have committed to Common Core, which is the most of them, have to find a way to get every child on the Internet so they can take their tests. And the way a lot of them are doing it, and again, it's happening across the nation, they're looking at iPads, and if they have to, or some kind of tablet, and if they have to invest that kind of money, which is billions of dollars nationwide, to get them all online, that then they're saying, well, we've got to invest these millions to get these devices into their hands. Let's see if we can change our whole teaching motif and get everything online and get everything digital rather than in paper format. So it's a battle that not only will need to be fought in your district, but like I said, it's around the country. And I think you have to realize that once you put that device out there, it is the ramp to a lot of other things that are out there. And you know, the truth is, I don't know how your teachers are going to control that. It's going to open up a whole lot of stuff. And I think you're doing the right thing. You're verbalizing, you're putting in writing your concerns. And as parents and community people, we need to speak up. Our voice is as important as everyone else's. And I think one of the things that has made the church, the body of Christ, seem irrelevant on issues of this kind of thing is people feel they're too busy. You know, I've got to watch my TV show, or I'm got to drive my kids here or there so that there's not time to be at board meetings or to write letters or to speak up. I think we need to speak out. The electronic issue is phenomenally important. And keep in mind, under Common Core, it is driving districts to teach more fiction or more – no, I'm sorry, I'm saying it backwards – to abandon fiction and drive students towards reading nonfiction, which means many of the things that are going to be downloaded on these tablets are not the great classics that have high moral teachings or even biblical teachings incorporated into it. It's going to be ways of getting other people's agendas downloaded on these tablets for your children to absorb. I think we need to be on the alert. I mean, that's all I can say. Be on the alert, and something makes you feel uncomfortable, speak out.
Okay, thank you. I had hoped not to bring Common Core into it because it's such a vast and complex subject to,
yes.
to and the time is so limited that I'm dealing with, you know, digital dementia, the findings at UCLA where there were young people ages 14 to 39, not so young, but anyway, quite a number of them are complaining of memory loss and lack of focus, but memory loss. So you have younger and younger people experiencing what has formerly been seen in only senior citizens,
wow.
much older people. So, you know, that's happening. In addition to that, the Pediatrician Association a few days ago made a recommendation to warn parents against allowing their children unrestrained use of digital devices, that they're seeing all sorts of problems with it. So I was trying to kind of limit the scope there to just, you know, just do that. But I don't know. We may have to go further. I don't know.
You know, you may look at another issue. An issue surfaced here at the Cleveland City School District, who did the same thing. They got a federal grant from Race to the Top, but that's a different story.
Uh-huh.
They bought all these tablets and started handing them out, and the theft rate was unbelievable. It was so bad they actually had to get as many of them back as they could and try to come up with another plan because the devices were seen as a great source of selling on the street, if you will, and the kids were stealing them from each other, and they had all kinds of problems. They actually cut back the program and are going to reevaluate it. So, I mean, that might be a thing for the district to look at, too. Are they opening up another
yes.
problem that they'd never thought of before? I mean, lot of schools have banned having students bring cell phones or their own devices to school because of those problems. Now, if the school is going to provide them for everybody, there could be an additional problem that they haven't even thought about.
Yeah. Well, you know, nothing is impossible with the Lord, and I feel like this has to be dealt with, and going to do so.
Oh, Miss Barbara, that's a great point, Mr. Finn. And I think I saw in the news too a while back, Los Angeles Unified District. I think they were one of the largest school districts, and they had to do the same thing, Mr. Finn, as Cleveland. They had to take them back.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an issue, and is that another issue that we need to add to the whole schooling issue that's troublesome anyway, and the overuse of electronics. I know there are other research out there that is causing all kinds of problems. So maybe there's something else we could do. Books. Now there's
I think Joan Landis,
yeah.
who we're hoping gets to come. You know, she deals with the breakthroughs in the field of neuroscience. So when you hear her, Ms. Barbara couldn't stop taking notes. So we're really asking God for a miracle there because I think she will break through the parent because when you hear that, you're almost realizing, I think I'm behind. You know, I am behind, way behind. I need to get to work. So with that in mind, Ms. Barr, we've got such a big problem. But we have a big God, and he sends us Ben Larson for our Stand in the Gap conference, our first one, and now he's sending David Barton for our second Stand in the Gap. So we know God is able, and in this, you know, in this time of the year, Christmas, when, you know, we are reminded that God sent his son as a babe in a manger, and he lived a life as a mere human being, and a servant at that, he came to serve, right? That we've got that great example of the life of Jesus Christ, and how powerful is that? That God is the one that can make the difference for us all. He is our hope. So
I know that he loves the children because the word says that, right? We know he loves the children. So we're going to ask, and we know it's according to his will that the children be trained up in the right way in the training and admonition of the Lord. So with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, we're just so grateful for Mr. Austin. Would you mind giving all these troubles to God in prayer?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Finn. Well, let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, O God, just praising you for who you are and what you do, what you have done, and what you're going to do. Father, we thank you for the privilege, Father. We recognize, Lord, that it's only through the blood of Christ, that it's only through his passion and death and resurrection, Father, that we can come before you. We recognize, Father, that there is no good in us but Jesus Christ. And he does dwell in us, and we're so grateful for that and so grateful for the relationship that we have with you. Father, we pray for your people this day, not only in this country but throughout the world. Father, we haven't always applied your truths to our lives and the lives of others around us, our world. We haven't always done that, Father. We ask you to forgive us, cleanse us, have mercy on us, and give us another opportunity, O God. You are the God of not only second chances, but third, fourth, and on. And we're grateful for your mercy and your kindness and your generosity to us. So, Father, give us another opportunity as your people to be your people, to stand for what you stand for, to speak, Father, your truth. And Father, that it would have your power with it, Father, your presence with it, as we speak your truth, Father. Let your words go forth, Father, to do what and accomplish that for which you send them. And do it through us, Father, all of your people. Father, working together. You are our Father, and we are your children. We are your people. What an honor it is, Lord. Now, as your people, Lord, we lift up the needs that we have, that we've talked about here today, particularly for our schools, Lord, our families, our children, our parents, our teachers. We lift them up to you, Father, and we say, have your way. Fulfill your plan in each one, Lord, and help us to see exactly what we need to do to help that happen, Lord, that we will be your hands, that we will be your feet, your ears, your mouth, and your heart right here on this earth. Father, you chose us for this time because it was during this time, Lord, that you saw, Lord, your word says that you see and you plan for the works that your people will do, the good works on this earth before we're ever born. And, Father, we're asking that that be fulfilled in your people. We thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing. We ask your blessing upon everyone, Father, that's been in the fields working. And, Lord, we pray for more laborers to be in the fields working. And we thank you, Father, that the ministry that Finn Larson and those in his organization have started, Father, the prayer at 116, Lord. We pray that you would just prosper that beyond belief. Because we know that you hear and answer the prayers of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Liz. And, thank you, Mr. Finn Larson. And we are going to promote that one16pray.com. And also the website, is it CEAI.org?
That's correct, CEAI.org, all kinds of free downloadable website or resources that we'd love to get out into the community so that we can make a difference in our schools.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Finn. And Mr. Finn, I know we started off with you were wanting to talk about Christmas, and would you mind closing us off with another little story or something about Christmas that you want teachers and parents to think about?
Sure, certainly. And we're all going to – I'm going to be attending school Christmas programs as a as a grandparent, and many of you will be going there. And I would just encourage your schools not to be frightened to have Christmas programs, to sing Christmas carols. Again, there are so many that are just frightened, believing that there's something in the Constitution that says separation of church and state, so we can't recognize religious holidays. Certainly you can, and I know that there will be many followers of Jesus who will be disappointed if they go to school concerts and they are sterile from anything from Christmas. Know that it's not illegal, and it's almost discriminatory if we take programs and strip all mentions of Christmas or religious significance. Again, even our secular department stores and discount stores and box stores, they're not afraid to celebrate Christmas hoping to make a profit. We shouldn't be afraid to celebrate Christmas to honor our Lord. I know when I go into schools at this time of year, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas, setting an example that they can follow, and I would encourage all of you listeners to do the same. Let's bring Merry Christmas greetings to all of our public schools during this month.
Wow.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Finn, and God bless
you. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to everyone, and we'll talk to you again soon. God bless you, and may God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Goodbye.